who's our YouthWorks intern for the summer, and he's in high school at George Washington High School. Also, Matthew Dito, who's our planner tech, a new position in the planning department, is joining us today. I'd like to begin with some general information. First order of presentation, the applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the 5 findings necessary to justify granting of a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public comment in opposition, then the project sponsor will be given a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the hearing, I may continue it to a future date or may close the public hearing and make a decision today or take the matter under advisement for a later decision. Items on the consent calendar, of which there is one today, are matters that are considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on that item, please step forward when the item is called. Otherwise, that variance would be granted. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda, and members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes each at that time. Now, for the criteria for justifying a variance, Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final till a decision letter is issued. Due to the current backlogs, a decision letter may take up to 2 months to be finalized after this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign up on the sign-in sheets that are on the far wall, as the gentleman is doing now. That's extremely important because the decision is appealable within 10 days to the Board of Appeals, and it's 10 days from the issuance of that decision letter. So in order to get a copy and have your appeal rights preserved, please sign in on the sheet. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss their concerns, we would request that that be done outside of the hearing room to avoid disrupting other parties. Next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, July 23rd. Audio recordings of these variance hearings are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. And I think one item of correction on the calendar, we have a duplicate. Items 3 and 4 are the same for 227 3rd Avenue, so we will deal with that when we call those items. Otherwise, we can move to items for continuance.
Items to be continued for Thursday, August 7, 2014, at the regularly scheduled weekly planning commission hearing here at Room 400 at City Hall. Item number 1, case number 2013.0831V, 17884 Sanchez Street, rear yard variance sought.
Is there any public comment on the continuance of this item of 1784 Sanchez Street? Seeing none, we would continue this item to the joint hearing with the Planning Commission on Thursday, August 7, 2014, and that is due to a staff-initiated discretionary review on the subject project. And we can move to consent.
Consent item number 2, case number 2014.0572V, 1155 Church Street, exposure variance sought.
Is there any public comment on this item on 1155 Church Street? If there's no public comment, the item would just be granted. So seeing there is no public comment, if you do have anything to say in opposition to the project?
Yes.
Oh, you do in opposition? Okay, please step forward. Well, actually, we'll We'll take this item off consent, and since you want to speak in opposition to the project, what we'll do is we'll call the project sponsor up, have them make their presentation, and then you can speak under public comment for that item. So since this is the only consent item, we'll just have this be the first item on the regular calendar, and if the project sponsor for 1155 Church Street could approach to present their case.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. My name is Brian Murdoch. I'm the architect for the variance sought at Church Street. Basically, the variance is for we're trying to put in a third unit down on the lower floor, and we have an exposure variance to the existing rear yard egress stair for all the upper levels. Limits our view into the backyard. So we have... we're here on that formality. We have increased to respond to that exposure limitation to the rear yard. We have increased the window sizes under a previous application. So we're not doing any changes to the exterior envelope of the building, and we're not changing any of the access to the building as well. So it's just a technicality on the view from the inside of the building to the rear yard, the required exposure. We've done things on the inside of the building to make it more of a nice living environment, such as increased ceiling height, done an open floor plan to spread light throughout the building. But in terms of the public, there is no effect, no change to the building at all under this application.
Thank you.
That's it.
So now we can move to public comment for this item for 1155 Church Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Lisa Tong. I live at 1161 Church Street, next door to the building that's under construction. And I'm very concerned about adding this third level. Before it was at a legal unit, a basement apartment, so not all of it was being accessed. Being next door, my main concern is with another family in the unit, it's going to negatively impact our home by them going up and down the stairs. Our bedrooms abut to the staircase that is used to access this third unit. Additionally, the house has been pretty much abandoned. The previous owner was hospitalized for the last several years, so it has been in disrepair. The current occupants, previously to their eviction, did not take care of the building either, so it's in bad shape, and I'm just very, very concerned that adding this third unit, that the house can just not tolerate it. It's already buckling into areas and causing damage to our property, so I just would not like to have this third unit added. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 1155 Church Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal if you'd like to use your time.
In response, the level that we're proposing the third unit on is an existing level. We're simply separating that from the upper floor second unit. It used to all be one unit, so we're separating that. Under a previous permit that obviously we're already under construction, we're addressing all the building safety issues, structure. I mean, we're doing a lot of work to upbring that. So none of what we're doing under this variance application is affecting, you know, building structure. That's all under a separate permit.
So what's the scope of the work that's being undertaken now under the existing permit? You referenced some structural improvements.
We're doing shear walls, a lot of reframing, you know, getting rid of some of the old, you know, rotten framing, foundation work, and just general building retrofit. We put dormers on the roof. We're redoing all the roofing. The back face of the building, we're, you know, putting in new windows, bringing it up to, you know, current code, basically. We reconfigured the access. There's an existing stair going down from the second floor, and we're proposing to reconfigure that and move the stairs more internally in the towards the front of the building rather than the back of the building. But in general, we're not, under this application, we're not really changing anything of building structure or, you know, doing any kind of impact like that.
Thank you. So with that, I'll close public comment and close public hearing on this item. I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it's adding a dwelling unit infill to an existing building, which is already undergoing some fairly substantial renovations. And I would request that the member of the public and the property owner's representative may meet and discuss. And it sounds like if some of those concerns are expressed to the owner's representative, maybe they can explain how they're addressing those concerns. It sounds like there's, again, fairly major renovation to the building that's going to bring the building up to current code requirements and should be result in a kind of a better neighbor situation than there was in the past. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 3, case number 2014.0249V, 227 3rd Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here. Please approach the mic. You also have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Gennis Ulinskis. I'm the architect for the owners at 227 3rd Avenue. The property is a MR1 zoned residential property, single family. This is the existing site plan. So it's a three-story building, and currently there is a deck off the lower level, and there's a level that actually overhangs that deck, and there's a staircase that goes to the rear yard. The current deck is only about 3 feet wide, and so is the staircase. The setback requirement is 45% of the lot depth, so this line is the current rear yard setback requirement. Just about every property on this block is existing nonconforming into the rear yard setback. The property to the north actually is significantly beyond where our current deck is for our property. I'll show a photograph. This is a photograph of the existing deck and stair at 227 3rd. This is the property to the north. The firewall and deck extend beyond that stairway and deck. And this is the overhang, actually, of the existing property also at 227 3rd. What is proposed is to replace the existing deck and stair with a larger deck that is more usable, that is about 10 foot 10 by 12 foot, and then have a stair that also extends. This deck will not extend significantly beyond the adjacent neighbors, and the idea is that essentially this will be a usable deck that will allow some use and enjoyment of the rear yard for this owner, and we do not feel it will negatively impact either of the neighbors in this situation.
Thank you. I did not notice floor plans in the submittal. What is the room that is going to be directly adjacent to the expanded deck?
Okay. Hold on. Let me put that on.
Thank you.
Currently, their kitchen is sort of in the middle of the house, and they have a breakfast room right back there, and then there's a small powder room there. So there's a breakfast room and powder room, and so this deck will be directly off of this breakfast room.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 3 for 227 3rd Avenue. Any public comment on 227 3rd Avenue? Seeing none, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance. I know that we did receive a couple letters with concerns regarding the potential impacts on mid-block open space. However, I think that the project sponsor has demonstrated that there's a varied pattern of mid-block open space here with many structures that already extend into the required rear yard. It's providing usable open space that's directly accessible from the main living level of the building. And also would note that there's a fairly sizable front setback to the building, which further dictates that development occur at the rear. So with that, we can move to the next item.
Skipping item number four as duplicate, item number five, case number 2014.0304V, 2612 Scott Street, rear yard, variance sought. Sponsor of the project, please. For 2612 Scott Street. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Just to clarify for members of the public, there are speaker cards that are up here, but those are actually not for our hearing, so there's no need to submit speaker cards. Just state your name for the record when you approach to give your testimony. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mark Thomas, project architect for 2612 Scott Street, representing Wendy and Carl Kawaja. Our request for variance for a rear yard deck, first off, has been modified a little bit. We've had some meetings with the neighbors, and I think the official request was for a 2-foot, 8-inch encroachment of the deck itself and an 8-foot encroachment of the spiral stair, and we've agreed to pull that back a foot. So I don't know how you want to memorialize that, Mr. Sanchez.
But so have you submitted revised plans to staff at this point?
Yes. Revised plans have been sent to staff, and there's also a Section 311 that is yet to be sent out for this project, so that will also further memorialize the proposed changes, and the two adjacent neighbors will get copies of those.
So the revisions were submitted both as part of the building permit application and of the variance application.
Right. And great. So Allie has, or she should have those today.
Okay, excellent. Well, that satisfies that.
Okay. So the request for variance is based on the lot size and the configuration of the lot. In this class of district, most of the lots are wide and deep or standard width but very deep. And the subject property is has a notch cut out of it because of a lot on Broadway Street that's keyed into it. So it limits the development potential in what would be an otherwise buildable area on similar adjacent lots. There are, just to note, to the south of the subject property are three other lots that are similar in smaller size, and there has been precedent sent for those properties being built substantially into the rear yard. The property to the south has a two-story deck at the second and third floor level built into the required rear yard, and our request is similar. The area underneath the deck at the ground floor will be maintained. So, in fact, the required rear yard of 28 feet will be exceeded on the ground floor level. So the main reason for the request for the variance is because of the shape and size of the lot.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 5 for 2612 Scott Street?
I'm the immediate neighbor, and I'm here really to thank my neighbors and the architect for working with us and doing some pullbacks to accommodate us, and we support the variance.
Great, thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item, 2612 Scott Street? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance with the revisions submitted by the project sponsor. We also appreciate the work that they have done to revise the project to address concerns of neighbors. That will be documented through the revision process as well as the decision letter. So we can move on to the
item number six, case number 2012.1572V, 3420 18th Street, rear yard modification and street frontage variances sought. Project sponsor here. You also get 5 minutes.
Hi, David Sternberg, architect for the project. I assume you've seen the drawings, and we've worked with Brittany Bendix, and I don't really have that much to say about it other than what's all on the application. So if there's somebody that wants to make a comment from the public, then we can respond. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 6 for 3420 18th Street?
My name is James Kraft, and I lived in that area. And if I'm not mistaken, they want to lift a building up over there and make it 5 floors high. Is that correct?
So it's the demolition of an existing building and the construction of a new 5-story building with 16 residential units?
Yes, sir. That's the place. But the deal is this, how I see it is that San Francisco commands the highest real estate values in America. And if you put in high buildings obstructing its views, you'd have cut the head off the goose that lays the golden egg. If they keep building higher and higher buildings, you won't be able to see anything. When that happens, the property values in this city will go straight down the toilet. And this is why I oppose that. I'm through.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 3420 18th Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, would you like any rebuttal?
I guess that all I'll say in response to that is that's a very general comment. It's not specific to this project, and the issues specifically to this project, and I will respond that we have worked very hard with planning staff, specifically Brittany Bendix, who we've enjoyed working with, to really work to make this building designed in a nice way so it fits in with the pattern of the neighborhood. We have a lot of kind of ins and outs of the building. We have complied with the alley or the street setbacks. So in all other ways, except for the rear yard variance, which doesn't affect what it looks like from the street in any way, we comply with all planning codes. Thanks.
Thank you. So with that, we'll close the public hearing on this item. I would note that the project is located within the Mission Street Neighborhood Commercial Transit Zoning District, which was developed as part of the Eastern Neighborhoods Area Plan over nearly a decade of work, seeking to increase density in areas that are very well served by public transit, as well as the newly created 55-foot height limit here. And the project has complied with the height limit requirements. Private views are not protected under the planning code. Public views and view corridors are, and we have not found that this adversely impacts any of the public view corridors or views from public parks. So with that, I would be inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification and street frontage variance, noting that there are different findings for both of those. It's not a rear yard variance, but rather a modification, which does not have to meet all 5 findings of the variance. But the street frontage variance, that you find that has been met for this subject property, which is a corner lot. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 7, case number 2014.0002V, 1244 Treat Avenue, rear yard variance side. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Troy Kashanipour. I'm the project architect. The information we are presenting today is in the package, but just to summarize, this proposal is to remove an existing shed-like structure at the rear yard. It shows up in a early Sanborn maps going back to 1905. There's an existing pattern of rear yard structures on the block. We don't have your typical rear yard open space pattern, but rather Lucky Street, formerly known as Garfield, was the back alley. So I can, you know, show you a Sanborn. The structures highlighted in green are rear yard structures, so I think this this proposed garage is consistent with the block pattern. We are further proposing a roof deck over that garage so that they will have some usable open space.
Thank you. And so the lot is only a little less than 16 feet wide, isn't that correct?
Correct. I think it was historically a 50-foot lot that somehow was subdivided at some point into three relatively equal parcels. And just one other point is that we did get a couple calls of support from adjacent neighbors, 1250 and 1256 Treat. And I told them to call the project planner to just register their support.
And the structure at the rear that's being removed, that is used as storage. It's not used as parking currently?
It's kind of a carport type structure, and there's a rolling gate that or a rolling door that is on Lucky. Whether or not anybody ever parked there or not, I don't know.
Okay. Thank you. And any estimate on the age of that structure?
Can't tell. Let me see if I have a photo. It looks to me like it's been repaired over time, and so probably every piece of it has been replaced at some point. It has, a metal roof on it, corrugated metal and siding boards on the sides.
Okay, great. Thank you. If there's any public comment on this item, and we are on item number 7 for 1244 Treat.
Good morning. My name is Janet Sum. I'm the immediate neighbor of said property 1244 Tree. And we are insulted that the property owner and architect did not consult us, the immediate neighbor, and their other immediate neighbor to the other side of the house, 1248, about this project. But they consulted with other neighbors. The reason being, the architect is correct. It is... the garage has been there for over 20 years because we bought our property adjacent to theirs for over 20 years, and it's always been like that. There are properties in the rear yard, so it is the pattern, but none of the property in our alleyway there has a deck. And with that deck built, they will be looking directly into our bedrooms, which is an invasion of privacy, and it's going to have security issues as well because that's a rough patch of neighborhood. For the 20-some years that I lived there, I had people climb over the roof. I had people who... decide to show their private parts to me. And then there are kids that is in the neighborhood. If you look at the crime reports, whatever, there's a ton of them. They're breaking glass of the windows or the doors of the cars and everything. So it's improved a lot, but it's still a rough neighborhood. So we don't want to invite any cursed kids to climb over the deck and this and that and just go roof jumping. As you can tell, they can hop on a lot of garage tops and go into houses. And actually, I did have one invasion, a house invasion by someone that climbed over possibly 1244 the garage and then went inside our house. So it is an endangerment to the immediate neighbors and other properties along the alley. And it really is a security risk for our house, especially privacy issues, because we have... It's going to be within 30 feet from our bedroom window. So we can see them partying, drinking the deck, whatever, and they can see straight into our bedroom window. That's just not good to our view. And it's with the railing on the deck, it's going to push the structure to 12 feet, and that's going to obstruct our view. And they could totally see our yard space, too, where we hang our clothes and everything. So... that's going to be privacy, not just an invasion, not just to a bedroom, but also to our yard space. And this goes the same with our other neighbor, too.
Thank you. Do you have anything else to add?
I can think of something later, maybe, but thank you for
okay.
now.
Well, just a couple of questions. So, okay. Just want to clarify. So you're the adjacent property to the south, the one with the rear yard?
Correct.
Okay. And so you have a...
North does, too.
Well, the north property of the north has a structure at the rear. Believe.
They have some open space there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take a look at the photos. But,
okay.
You have about an 8-foot tall rear fence, and so you're saying that people have jumped over on top of the adjacent building rather than just jumping over your fence as a security issue?
No, we have a garage in ours, but what they can do is it's a small alley, and lots of times cars just park outside the alley, and then it makes the road very tight. You can't even go through the alley if a car parked there. So, it's going to make the whole alley look really, really crowded with all that. So the kids were able to hop onto garbage cans. We haul the garbage cans. They can just give another hop, and then they can go on top of the decks or the roofs.
But I was wondering, they have the same access to the rear of your property over your fence as they would on an adjacent property. I just don't know why it would be...
Our garage door is a little bit taller than... and it's not as easy to climb over. Because we removed the pole. There used to be a pole to hang the clothing for the clothing line, so the kids were able to climb that also. So we removed that.
Okay. So yours is a little bit taller, you said? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned concerns about the deck on the proposed garage.
Correct. Oh, we're very happy, though, that they want to redo the garage.
Okay, so the garage itself is okay.
The deck, it's, no.
The decks, okay.
Yes, I should have said that first.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So, okay, thank you.
That's very helpful, thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? And we're on item number 7 for 1244 Treat. Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. It's unfortunate that they feel they haven't had a chance to respond. The poster's been in front of the building. They have my number. We've discussed previous projects. But in any case, I just wanted to show the view from the rear from Lucky. The white building is the project sponsor's. They misspoke, and they are actually the building to the north and not to the south. This black painted area with the side door, the rolling door is black. This is the area that we hope to replace and build the garage. The security concerns, I'm not quite sure the logic of that. If anything, it would be probably more secure than in the current condition. And with regard to privacy, we live in an urban area. You know, this isn't a huge, you know, multifamily dwelling. It's a 2-unit building, and you know, any people that are using the deck are going to be neighbors. People have, you know, measures to address their privacy, like shades and curtains. So we're happy to talk with them. We've spoken with them about other projects. We've been in front of Board of Permit Appeals twice on a foundation replacement with this particular neighbor. So I'm not quite sure where this is coming from, but
I think I recall that case. So this is where the buildings are all essentially built together, the shared foundation?
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you. And was there a pre-application, like a community meeting done as part of the project?
We haven't done the 311 yet, so that's our next step. We wanted to make sure our variance was in place and then do the 311 and the pre-app.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So with that, I'll close the public hearing. In terms of the project, I mean, I don't see any issue with the proposed garage, and you know, certainly think we can find the hardship findings here with the lot configuration being slightly less than 16 feet in width is a really substandard condition. And I would, in terms of the deck, ask that the project sponsor discuss the matter further with the neighbor and see if there's anything that could be done to address the concerns related to privacy, maybe through some setbacks or some landscaping, other elements on that roof deck. You know, certainly understand living in a city has compromised privacy, but then again, developing in the required open area also is something that is somewhat unexpected for someone, and I think there are ways that could be addressed to reduce the impacts on privacy for these types of projects. So with that, again, public hearing is closed, taken under advisement, and ask that the parties just further discuss that deck issue and the privacy concerns. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2014.0071V, 232 LC Street, rear yard and parking variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. Thank you. Andy Forrest, civil structural engineer. This rear yard extension has, from my estimation, 7 remarkable items pertaining to this project. For one, the lot is extremely small. It's in the north, in Bernal Heights Special Use District, the northwest corner. It's a 25 by 70 foot deep lot. That's remarkable in itself. My second item is the Northwest Bernal Heights Special Use District is exceptional in its own right. Almost anything you do in Bernal Heights requires a variance. The third item is The family that lives in the home, it's 800 square foot home, typically a small home in Bernal Heights. What we're doing is tearing down an existing dilapidated rear extension that is hugging the south property line, and we're going to put a new extension in that is 1 foot less in depth compared to the two adjacent existing extensions. So we have an extension that is going out less than the 25-foot required rear yard. The fourth remarkable point about this project is the requirement for an extra parking space. Inasmuch as the city is currently has a transit-first policy, it would seem kind of ludicrous that we would want another parking space for this project. Not only that, to get two spaces in this home would actually require to take up the whole width and more depth to the existing parking space to maneuver into the second space. So that's pretty much exceptional. The sixth remarkable comment about this project is that our new extension is actually situated equidistant from both properties to the north and the south. So that would result in an 8-foot separation from each property on both sides. That would afford them their maximum light and air in this case. Another exceptional point is we actually have 7 letters of support from adjacent neighbors, which I've found over the years is pretty exceptional. That summarizes the variance, which is a parking variance, as well as a half the width in the rear. And there's another item, which I can't quite recall, which is a third item, but I'm sure it'll come up possibly. I'm available for questions.
Thank you. So you noted that there's a current projection into the rear yard that is along the south side property line, abutting that adjacent building, which extends further than the subject property. Why wasn't this reconstructed in a kind of similar, I mean, not footprint, I mean, certainly extending further, I can understand, but why was it shifted more towards the center of the property and not kind of against that south side property line?
Well, yeah. Working with the homeowners, we have devised an architectural plan that offers itself, maximum light and ventilation. So what you're asking is why didn't we build it on the property line so it's exposed on only one side to give one home the maximum separation, if you will, and one home does not have it? We felt that as far as the floor plan was concerned, it worked. See, we have no occupancy on the lower level. It's only a bathroom up on that second level, and it's a small one at that. It's approximately 8 feet by 10 feet right now. And this new extension is a 2-floor extension. So we're going from an 800 square foot living area to 975 on the second floor, and we're adding 800 square feet underneath it, which is the area directly below, the extension.
And so I can understand you've got the setbacks on either side, so you can have the window and the new bedroom on the first floor and the kitchen on the second floor have windows in that kind of new setback, that 8-foot setback. But there, in terms of, you talked about it giving 8-foot kind of clearance to the building to the south. Are there any windows on the property line? I mean, I don't think that there would be, given that the building was already along that side property line.
On that side, it's a blank wall.
Yeah, okay. So
I'm sorry, there's a deck. Don't put it together. The property to the south has a deck.
Above.
So we would be going out right to the level of their deck and be right adjacent to their deck.
Okay.
They wrote a letter of support expressing that they appreciated allowing them private enjoyment of their deck.
Okay. Thank you. So, okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
And the house to the north and the that homeowner is here. He has that same configuration where it's equidistant on both sides from the north and south line, and that is a typical pattern in the rear yard block as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So we can move on to public comment. Is there any public comment for item number 8 for 232 LC?
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Mark Tozer. I'm the owner at 228 LC, adjacent to 232. I'd like to express my opposition to the planned design of the new rear addition of 232 LC. I'm supportive of my neighbor's expansion, Jessica, and her desire to expand the living area of her house, but I feel that the current proposal will negatively impact me by reducing the amount of natural light entering the strategically designed bay windows at the rear of my house. One of the appeals to purchasing my home in 2011 was the open interior design that allowed natural lighting and warmth in the rear living space of my second floor. The space is where my kitchen and living room are located and where I spend most of the time while I'm at home. The current plan would extend the building structure of 232 LC in the rear, mirroring the length and height of the rear portion of my house where my windows receive southwest lighting. It would also bring their wall structure within 8 feet of my windows, where currently there's almost 19 feet of separation. I felt very fortunate to have been able to move back to San Francisco, where I grew up, and purchase my dream home after years of searching. But 2 years later, I was disheartened to learn that my neighbor was soliciting support from neighbors on the block before really informing me about this process. I'm open to compromise in the design that achieves the expansion of my neighbor's desires, but that also takes into consideration the reduction of not only natural light, but also reduced property appeal and value that will become permanent reality as a result of this expansion. So I respectfully request that you take into consideration the loss of natural lighting through the rear bay windows that were designed to be an entry of light and warmth for that part of the house. And I had just had some pictures, you know, one-dimension or two-dimension drawings don't really do much justice, but I just wanted to show, at least from my perspective, from within my property, what that would look like. So, this is the view from my living room, and the property that you can see to my left is my neighbor's current property line, and you can see the neighbor to the south, their wall line, which, as you had mentioned, does not have any windows. The deck is just beyond that pillar. The only way to really simulate exactly what it would look like, I kind of did a very crude version of what the view blockage would be, essentially would be a wall, which would actually reduce the amount of light that enters into that property, into this section of my house. And just to give you some more sense of the lighting that I am able to enjoy in the living space there. So this is basically morning view. And you can see that essentially it is the main component of lighting, particularly for the most of the afternoon, as well as the evening or even the morning. And just another view. This is just actually the real estate pictures that really wanted to highlight what this open space provided in terms of the bay windows. And again, it's not really about the separation or mimicking what neighbors have, but it's really the impact of trying to find a happy medium between the current design. What I essentially see is that I think that their desire was to...
Thank you. So your time is actually up, but okay. Do you have a question? So you show photos that have the rear wall, and it's not quite a bay window, so I misunderstood from your letter saying that you had a bay window, and this is not a bay window, rather it's, you know, you have the structure in the rear yard, you have windows all along the rear wall that provide light from your rear yard, you also have the windows on the south side. Are you set back 5 feet from your north side property line as well, where it looks like the stairs descend down?
Correct.
And so you could place additional windows on that wall as well. I mean, you could essentially have three walls complete with windows and 5 foot setbacks from side yard. That would be correct.
Right.
Okay. That helps to clear things up for me. Okay. Well, thank you. See if
thank
there's
you.
Any other public comment. Any other public comment on this item on 232 Elsie Street?
Good morning, Henry Kanilowitz. I have been out to the property. And it's the south side that's going to impact the Mr. Toza's rear addition that was built some time back. And when you say about adding those windows on a north side, that's going to take away from wall space right now that he could put. He's got a small fireplace on that wall, so he would have to remove that fireplace, and also he wouldn't be anywhere be able to put like paintings, artwork, and stuff like that on there. So it's sort of really, you know, you can't do that much about that north side. I think setting back the addition that the neighbors want to do a little bit further over to the south, it certainly would help to have him get more light in that area, because again, it is the south side, so it does get impacted at the particular times of the day.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
Hello, my name is Douglas Leach, and I live on the block. I'm here in support of the project. We've lived on the block for 26 years, and over that time, we've noticed almost all the houses have either been extended at some earlier point or more recently, as at this end of the block. And regarding the issues with the house we just heard about, that was remodeled by two people who basically flipped it despite assurances to the neighbors this was going to be their retirement home. And at that time, this project was presented to them, as it was to all of us on the block. So the people that did the remodel were aware of what the plans were for this current project. And as far as I can tell, it seems they did not disclose any of that intention to the people who are purchasing the property. So I think that that should be taken into consideration, that this was information that was out there. I'm sorry that they feel they're going to lose their light, but at the same time, this is a family trying to stay in San Francisco in a very tiny house. I think it's the only one on our side of the block that hasn't been remodeled, and they need more space so their daughter can have room for herself. And that structure you were referring to earlier is basically falling down. So I, as far as my experience has been, they've done everything they can to try to accommodate both sides, both neighbors, to allow themselves to have adequate living space and to allow for the most light possible in these tiny, tiny lots. So that's basically it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 232 LC?
Yeah, my name is Jonathan Walther, and I live at 180 Cortland Avenue. I live about three-quarters of a block away from Jessica and Kevin and right down the street from Doug and Scott. And I'm here to support Kevin and Jessica's project as well. I got to say, they're great neighbors. I mean, I think Bernal Heights and particularly our neighborhood is known to be very neighborly, and we all know each other. We all support each other. We all we have, you know, an annual street party. We have all sorts of potlucks and events, and these guys are just right in the middle of all of that. I know Kevin always pulls out his grill, and the people that he coaches soccer, these kids come by to the street party we have, and they're very neighborly people. And I have to say, myself being a middle class person, I'm a contractor and my wife's middle class, and we feel very fortunate to have a property in Bernal Heights and in San Francisco. And I've noticed a trend that's favoring people in the technology industry or people that possibly have multiple properties, like I think one of their neighbors might have, where, you know, they can live down on the peninsula or come up here. But my house is my only investment, and I know with these guys, this is their investment. So I'd like to, I think this is a great opportunity for a zoning commission or a planning commission to really support people to expand the growth of their family and sort of support a direction that maybe the city isn't quite going in, which is favoring the wealthy as opposed to the middle class. So that would be my encouragement.
Thank you for your comments. Yes.
Hi, I'm Scott Cunningham. I'm a neighbor, and I'm in support of the project. I've lived on the block for 27 years, and I've seen all of the development. I think the piece that gets me about this is that they have been so accommodating to everybody that has wanted to do whatever they want to do. Had they had the money to develop their project before the neighbor bought his house, they could have done anything they wanted. They could have built within reason, but they couldn't afford then. So they let those neighbors build whatever they wanted. We thought they were going to be neighbors, but it turned out they were flippers. So now I think their plan is so accommodating, and I think it's a good plan, and I hope you would support that. And I say this beyond the fact that they're friends of mine. I think it's a good project, and I hope you will think so too.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Seeing none.
I had one more thing to say. Sure. I don't know if I'm allowed, but this is real quick. I know when we purchased our house, our neighbors had a project that was planned, and it was a little bit farther along than Kevin and Jessica's. But we were given all sorts of
disclosures.
Yeah. Thank you that was going to go on. And I think that, you know, we all knew they had the intention to build eventually because we saw them having children and they were going to need to go somewhere. So I think that the developer of that property, of their neighbor's property, really should have disclosed conversations that Kevin had with him previously regarding his plan to expand or put this extension in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal, and actually maybe addressing the timing would be helpful as well to get that clarified of when you first contemplated the project and discussions you may have had with the previous owner of the adjacent property.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, we bought the house over 12 years ago as a falling downer and promptly started to save our money to try to make it what we thought it could be, a home for our family. Really, the plan started 1 month into that. I mean, I engaged with an architect, and I quickly discovered I couldn't afford an architect. So I went back to thinking about it, and it's really, I just have folders and folders of plans that I contemplated over the years, all the while saving up our money. So, when the property, our neighbor, where Mark is living now, when they died and people bought it, we did not pull any discretionary review or anything. We saw that they were replacing, actually, what was used to be. I can see from this old satellite photo. Let's see if I can do this. There's a photo here. Oh, it's very hard to see in this, but I can
rotate it.
Rotate
it
the other way. Yeah. Sorry, I could provide. No. Anyway, they had it. There's like a 2 foot. No, that seems wrong. Sorry.
I did notice that on the aerial photos myself, it doesn't look like the photos that were put on the overhead earlier by the neighbor.
So this is the prior, and just to show that there was a little small two-foot window there in their kitchen, and I saw that they were going to be replacing it with lots of windows. And rather than, you know, take them to discretionary review, I said, you know, I just want to let you guys know we have this plan, and we're going to build. We would like to build out. They came over with us. I know it was the previous owners. It's not on Mark. It's not his fault. But as far as the timing, just to let you know, I did say that this was our plan, and they said, well, as long as it's 3 feet from the property line, you know, that's code. And we said, yeah. And then, you know, they didn't live there, and they were real estate professionals, and they failed to disclose this to Mark, which unfortunately don't even think it's legal. So poor Mark came in and bought this house based on this beautiful view and this sense of openness and light that's truly exceptional. I mean, that is so rare, especially in Bernal Heights. So I can understand his emotional attachment to it. And in fact, we've had conversations about it. And Mark, you actually, I didn't solicit any letters of support from people before approaching Mark. I gathered my nerves and I went over to Mark's house and I knocked on his door and he let me in. Actually, there's me in Mark's house telling him about my plans. You can see the plans on the couch. I snapped a couple photos here not to be sneaky, Mark. It's really because I wanted to show my architect that I want to have an argument with Andy that he could build a whole bank of windows on that wall. He was telling me I needed 3 feet of sheer. So Mark actually let me take a couple pictures. I got it for that reason, but what's my point? Sorry. So I did have a conversation with you before I solicited the letters about the week of the pre-application hearing. You also said to me that you expressed, you appreciated my empathy. And really, he said, I feel bad. You know, the neighbors seem to all support you. And I said, well, nobody's going to hate you. You know, you're fighting for this, and I'm fighting for the dream that I've been saving for 12 years. And I did just want to speak to, you know, he asked me, why don't you slide it? Why can't you just slide it over so I can keep this air and light? And it's really because of those two reasons. We need the bedroom down. We don't have a third level. Like, he has a third level. We don't have a third level to locate bedrooms. We need them downstairs. We want them safely in the back of the house. We need light to that bedroom. I mean, we have a two-story sheer wall above it. In contrast, you know, in Mark's living room, and this is something I feel that, look at that view just out of his western. I mean, that's a whole wall of windows right there. You can see the fireplace, and you can see that there would be room. You could add windows to the side of the fireplace or above the fireplace. I didn't want to suggest for Scott, for Mark to have to do any work on his home. However, I do think that with that and the combination...
So I think that was actually time, but
sorry.
If you just wrap up that.
Okay, but you could basically, I mean, he showed himself that he would still have the view out of that and the light coming from that third south-facing window. I think that is quite a lot of air.
It sounds like it's been a long time in development, but the application wasn't submitted till this year for the project.
Correct. We didn't really want to apply until we had all the money. And then I just also wanted to note that we're on a slight downslope from him, so we're 1 foot beneath, below his grade, and we're also proposing a flat roof, not a... You know, okay. So I don't think that the impediment to light is actually going to be that much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so with that, the public hearing will be closed, and appreciate hearing all of the arguments regarding the kind of development history here. And, you know, certainly I do take seriously the concerns from the neighbor, Mr. Tozer, about the windows, but do see that from the photos that he provided that room does have substantial light and air, and that the project as proposed would not have a negative impact on the light and air to those windows. So with that, I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Item number 9, case number 2013-0919V, 2104 Bryant Street, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor, please. You have 5 minutes, sir.
My name is Malcolm Davis. Our project is on a very, very small lot, 63 feet deep. And what we're asking for is a variance to the rear yard. And I think we do meet the five conditions. We really don't create an impact on anyone with our addition. The mid-block open space, this is maybe a little hard to see, but we don't actually connect to the mid-block open space. We've got this tiny little yard with this little hook from the neighboring property coming into it. It's a very small house, and we actually wanted to keep the situation of the character of the small house on the street. And we've got side yards. So we're actually not covering very much of the site still. And our proposal, the house is still only barely over 1,000 square feet. So it's not a big, flashy thing, and we've got a tiny little lot, so that's why we're here.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 9 for 2104 Bryant Street.
Hello, Henry Cornelowitz again. I'm in support of this variance. As you know, we need families in San Francisco, and this house is really, really tiny. So it's going to really add some square footage and so therefore better quality of life for the owner of the property. So I'd urge you to please approve this variance. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 2104 Bryant Street? Seeing none, close public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the lot size, the very shallow depth at approximately 63 feet. Also, the building has a fairly significant front setback at about 9 feet, and the building, I believe, is a potential historic resource. So I think those findings that justify granting of the variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 10, case number 2013.0999V, 36 Barcelona Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please. Kindly approach the mic. You have 5 minutes to speak.
How are you? My name is Clinton Miller. I'm the project architect for 36 Barcelona. What we are proposing to do is to... Sorry, let me move that. We are proposing to build a three-story infill addition to the rear of the property. You can see that here. It lies in between two existing extensions on the rear side of the property. This is a three-story extension. This is a two-story extension, both of which are also over the rear yard setback. There's a couple characteristics to this neighborhood that are kind of interesting and peculiar to San Francisco. One being the large front yard setbacks here, and then two being the mirrored nature of the two units. You'll see here there's... the subject property mirrors the adjacent property, and in that there is this sort of front yard, courtyard area for the entrance. And so while that area actually lies within the buildable area of the property according to the zoning code, we would be destroying the character of the neighborhood by changing that or building into that. So instead what we'd like to do is build in between the two existing extensions at the rear of the house. Let me pull up another plan here. Can see a bit larger view of what we're doing. This line here represents the 45% rear yard lot setback. You can see here the two-story roof deck, and you can see here the dashed line indicates the extent of the existing building, so you can see the existing three-story extension there, both of which extend over that setback line. You can see up front here that this buildable, within the buildable area, is a much larger zone that our clients could build within, but instead are choosing to infill this rear setback, or this rear section here. Hold up one more plan. Finally, so this one here shows the existing conditions in demolition. So you can see the existing, this is the profile or the footprint of the existing three-story portion extension on the rear side of the house. This is the existing two-story extension with the roof deck on top. What we are proposing is just to simply infill this zone right here. That's all.
All right, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item on 36 Barcelona Avenue?
Thank you.
Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting also that there was a previous variance from 2001, I believe, authorized, I think, similar work, not exactly the same, but fairly similar. And again, with that, inclined to grant the variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 11, case number 2014.0751V, 3200 Harrison Street, entrance to off-street parking and curb cut variance is sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Ole Lundberg, Lundberg Design, representing my client, Charles Fahn. This building was an existing two-unit residential building with ground floor commercial. We have remodeled it, so it's now, we've gotten rid of the commercial. It's just a two-unit building, enlarging the living units. The existing building had no parking in it. We're proposing a two-car garage, one-car space for each unit, although it's a common garage. The situation we have here is that there's an existing bearing line that we're retaining, which prevents us from moving the doors the requisite 6 feet apart. So we've got approximately 1 foot six between the two doors. The doors are 9 feet, which I think is probably the minimum that makes them usable. And so we're proposing doors that obviously are closer together, and we're proposing one curb cut rather than two. We could do two curb cuts, but there would only be the 1 6 between the two of them, and I think it's more logical just to do one. That quite simply is the request for the variance.
Thank you. So I understand that the project would also require the removal of at least one street tree.
One street tree. We have we spoke to that body, whatever that, I forget what the body is.
But, Public Works.
Yeah, and Public Works, it's a healthy tree, so they automatically say don't take it out if it's healthy. However, at that meeting, which I don't believe we've gotten the results from yet, but they said that they understood the reason for it, and they had two potential locations for a new street tree, which we were fine with either one or even both if they wanted them. So we anticipate that we'll be given that.
And so you noted that the project adds parking where parking does not currently exist, two parking spaces, and there's currently on-street parking there as well that would be removed by the curb cut. So at least one, if not two, on-street parking spaces would be lost. Is that correct?
Correct. If we incorporated this space, however, into the current building, then it would actually enlarge the size of the building enough that then it would trigger a four parking requirement for stall requirement.
Which you could seek a variance from.
You could.
That requirement.
True.
Okay. Thank you. See if there's any public comment on this item. Is there any public comment on item number 11 for 3200 Harrison Street? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Project sponsor, do you have anything else to add? I mean, I think staff has probably communicated some of the concerns that we have regarding the project. And I don't know if you want any last arguments.
I think that our hope is that it's seen that this is reasonable, that there would be one enclosed parking space per unit. I think we've tried to maintain the historic character of the building. I think the design of the of what we've done, both with the new elements of the architecture, such as the garage doors, fit the historic pattern of the building. It's certainly, we're proposing something that's quite commonly found in the neighborhood. And it's certainly not our intention to in any way change the pattern of the existing neighborhood.
Thank you. So with that, the public hearing is closed. Do have concerns regarding the subject application. I think it's not related to the addition. I mean, that is something that is not subject to the variance. The variance is very specifically related to the off-street parking. Currently, no off-street parking is required. If the project is changed, that may not be the case, and off-street parking may be required depending on the final proposal, but one could seek a variance from that requirement. But I do not see the hardship here to justify granting the variance for the off-street parking and curb cut variance for a project that would remove one, if not two, on-street parking spaces, essentially privatizing those to create the off-street parking spaces, as well as removal of a healthy street tree. So with that, I would deny the subject variance application, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Item number 12, case number 2014.0016V, 132 Corbett Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor?
Hi. My name is Jeff Burris. I'm the architect for the project. We're really here at the variance to request a buildable area for this site. There are 28 lots. What you see on the screen now are the figure ground for this little section of land that exists between 17th Street and Corbett. In our property, you see at the top illustration is a 100-year-old structure, a single-family house of 1,000 square feet. and the lot goes through all the way to 17th Street. The owner would like to develop a second unit, as is allowable on this lot. And this is the largest lot in this RH2 section. But as we look at the planning code, this is the buildable area that the planning code directs, which is 45% of the lot. We've been associated with projects like this before. I don't like to do this kind of thing. It's an old building, and then you add a second unit to it by adding on to the rear. This is the type of envelope you would be requesting. And we felt like that was a negative impact and did not sit well with the city charter. And in fact, it broke up the mid-space pretty significantly. You can see that that orange area represents what would be allowable under the code if we followed it as written. So in conference with planners and in a pre-app meeting with the neighbors, adjacent neighbors, we developed this solution, which would be to put the second unit at the other end of the through lot facing 17th Street, a smaller unit than is currently on those lots. If you can see our figure ground here, is the proposal is requesting a 25, I have a larger section here in a second, but we're requesting a 25% separation between the buildings because an additional 45% would result in a building about 15 feet deep. But we are not requesting an envelope any larger than what we're showing here, which would be a 25% separation. And that would result in a massing of roughly like this. What I like about that, and we can compare the two, is for a number of reasons, this over this, the view out these rear windows for the existing neighbors is down into Eureka Valley, and we're mindful of protecting that. Secondly, we were mindful of protecting this old structure. And thirdly, we have an existing open space on 17th Street. And we don't think it's inconsistent to propose the second structure there and then leave the existing older structure alone. Corbett's more of a pedestrian street. 17th is more of a driving street. So for all those reasons, we felt this is a more appropriate solution. We did end up designing a house for this site only to have a conversation. This is the 17th Street view. You can see the opening. Only to have the conversation. This variance is only for a buildable envelope. We have not submitted a site permit. So we couldn't help ourselves. We created a building. We'd like to propose a building of this scale, this size, with one parking space off street parking space. But the variance request is for us to build in the rear yard, and this is the envelope that we're requesting because of that.
Thank you. And will there be any changes to the existing structure on Corbett?
We're doing interior remodels, and we are asking for a couple dormers, but we're not doing any other changes. There was, we have a permit in place now. There was an addition put on the back. This little tail that you see is a one-story addition that was a butterfly roof, and it was in disrepair, and so we got a permit to repair it as a single slope, but we've replaced it in kind.
Okay. And just maybe while that's on the overhead there, I know we had received some concerns from the adjacent property to the west, the 43 to 45, and so you're showing here on the plans that you are respecting the light well that they have.
We are. We're a little bit ahead of the game in that we met with them, and they expressed the concern, and so we put the slice in. We aren't at the point of designing it, and we are willing to reflect or genuflect our building to respond to the light and air issues. But right now we are asking for the envelope. The reason I show it is because we did have a personal conversation with them. I know Tina Chang wrote us yesterday to say that we had inadvertently slid the slot forward a bit, and there was some complaint that the window wasn't showing. So we resubmitted those drawings to her yesterday with the slot a little deeper, letting them know that we're going to align with it.
Okay, thank you. So with that, we can move on to public comment for item number 12 for 132 Corbett Avenue.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. I'm David Buck. I live in 4345 17th Street, next door. It's a two-unit building. The other owner who owns the downstairs is out of town, so he can't be here. So we both submitted the letters. So our concern, and yes, I did meet with the architect last year, Because the main concern is the loss of light, the loss of air. Those are the first two concerns. There was some accommodation in that slight opening there, but as you can see from our letters, we don't feel that's really enough to take into account the loss of light and also primarily air. Because when that is done, most of the air is then only from the front and back. And in this house, which is over 100 years old, the front windows really don't open. So in order to get them to open, we'd have to basically redo them because they're very old. So it's only from the back. So that's one of our main concerns. The other concern is the massive structure that's going to be put onto this lot. If you go back 5 years in 2009, the other side of our place, which is in 4347, 4349, there was a proposal and a variance requested to build a structure on top of the garage on Corbett. And rear lot variance was requested and denied because of the amount of mass was going to be built in the lot. So that's our other concern. So basically the loss of light and air and also just the amount of structure that's going to be built, similar to what was going proposed to be happen on the other side of our building.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other public comment on this item on 132 Corbett?
Hi, I'm Jean Mew, and I'm the property owner of 132 Corbett. When I bought the house last year, I had planned to move in with my daughter. And unfortunately, due to our space needs and even garage issues, it's pretty prohibitive to redo that house in a manner where we can live for the next indefinitely. We just recently got into Clarendon Elementary School, so I plan to be in the neighborhood for a while. And I also have visiting family, and the 1,000-square-foot house is not really appropriate for my lifestyle and family and friends who would be visiting from out of town. So when I met with my architect last year, he had given me several phases to look at, and respecting the neighborhood, and obviously on 17th Street, it's a little bit different than Corbett Street. It's very mixed use, lots of apartment buildings across the street. What I'm proposing is a single family, and it is not a massive structure. It will be around approximately 2,200 square feet. So it would blend in with the infill of the 17th Street side. I'm not planning to develop that other than the single-family house for myself and my daughter. So if you take a look at the plans again, I think it's a very appropriate use of the space. And again, it's zoned R2, so I'm just trying to do the best thing for the neighborhood and for myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on the item on 132 Corbett Avenue? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal if you'd like to address some of the concerns that were raised.
The concern raised about light and air, we are certainly open to. I'd like to just reiterate that the building we're proposing stops here. This is the light well. This is where we're proposing to pull back. I think this is an entirely appropriate response to a light well of that size. We're giving them a similar depth and width, and we're cutting at the point of departure. I think actually the reverse is actually the stronger argument, which is whereas this would open this light well to the existing empty lot, it would create a structure that blocks the view out of the houses, not only for 4343, but the other neighbors that are up the street. So I still reiterate that I think that the choice of massing at the rear of the lot on 17th is a greater benefit than pursuing this as a double unit.
Thank you. So with that, close the public hearing. I do believe that the project is sensitively designed and would not have a negative impact on the adjacent property to the west, which would still maintain those windows and the light well through the respected light well configuration, as well as the south-facing windows on the property. So with that, inclined to grant the requested variance and move on to the next item.
Item number 13, case number 2013.1710V, 4469 23rd Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor?
Good morning. My name is Jonathan Perlman. I'm the architect from Elevation Architects, working with the project sponsor, Zoe Dunning and Pam Gray. Good morning, everybody. What we have is, I think, a fairly modest proposal to, you can see on the overhead, the house at 4469 23rd is set all the way to the rear of the yard, so any addition to the house would necessarily be in the rear yard. And while it is RH2 and they could obviously build in the front of the lot, all they want is an addition of a master bedroom suite on a second story of a one bedroom over basement house. So I can go through, I have, and I don't know if Mr. Sanchez, if this is necessary, but you know, I can go through all of the variance findings. The obvious hardship is that the existing house is in the rear yard, and there'd be no way to meet the intent of the code. This is basically the site plan that shows where it is. So the entire house is in the rear of the lot, so there's clearly a hardship to do anything other than that to expand this. For them to have their full rights under the code, these are houses across the street that are almost three times the size of their the project sponsor's home. So they would not be able to expand at all if we had to meet the literal enforcement of the code. The addition would not be material detrimental. There's a massive apartment building built in the 60s right next to it. It being in the back of the lot, certainly it barely will be seen from the street. And the neighbor to the east has been completely supportive, and that's where the views and windows that look over the yard to the east. There are no windows to the west on that one. Other than the variance, the house is completely within code compliance, and its design, I think, is very much in the Bay Area modern style. So we're continuing the shingles and adding a little bit of a modern vocabulary in the front. But I think it's very much in keeping with the architecture in the neighborhood, very varied architecture. And I don't have to go through these, but I think we very much meet the general plan policies by far. I don't think we affect anything in the neighborhood by this addition. So with that, I'll end my presentation.
Thank you for a very thorough presentation. It's much appreciated, and we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. And we're on item number 13, Lucky 13, for 4469 23rd Street. Seeing no public comment, we close public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance. I think, as the project sponsor noted, it's an existing legal non-complying structure in the required rear yard. While the building does not appear to be a resource, we still find that the additions are appropriate, and the adjacent structure to the west is the west?
To the east.
To the east, sorry. The full apartment building is also another exceptional circumstance here. So we can move on to the final item.
Last item 14, case number 2013.1819V, 2621 San Jose Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Are you the project sponsor, ma'am? You have 5 minutes.
I'm Patricia Julian, owner of 2621 San Jose Avenue. I'm supposed to meet with my architect this morning, but he didn't show up.
Oh, no.
And I was very early this morning because it says here 400, and I was waiting for the door to open.
Uh-oh.
But it didn't open. And then I asked somebody, I said, it's on 408.
Who's your architect?
The name is Leonardo Ridada.
Okay. Have you otherwise been happy with his work?
Yeah. But this is the first time that he didn't show up.
Okay.
Well, I called him and called him, but he didn't return my call. The reason for the hearing today is affidavit of posting. This one?
So
report studied, and he's supposed to bring today proof that the report studied.
Hopefully you didn't take down the poster. When did you take down the poster?
Because that's what he told me. You bring it, and I bring the photographs that we did posted it.
Okay.
But he didn't show up.
Did you take down the poster this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. And it was up for the last 20 days?
Yes.
Okay.
And I fill up this form.
Great. So.
And he's supposed to sign it, but he didn't sign. He didn't show up.
You live at the property?
Yes.
And you can testify that the poster was there for the last 20 days until
yes.
you took it down this morning. You can sign it.
Oh, okay. I can sign it. Thank you.
And so the project is to legalize the two bathrooms at the
yes.
rear. Do you know when those were constructed?
Before the earthquake, 1906.
The bathrooms have been there that long?
No. The building.
Okay. And what about the bathrooms? Do you know how long those have been there?
The bathroom is half done already.
Oh, did you do the work?
No, a contractor did.
Oh, okay.
Because what happened, why we didn't get a permit, is that my relatives from the Philippines is arriving, and six of them, and they're supposed to live in the house, and we have only one bathroom. And then somebody suggested to me, if you get a permit, it will take ages. And then your relatives is arriving. So I took the chance not to get a permit. So I can accommodate them.
But you learned that you need to get a permit and
yeah,
this won't
I learned
happen
the hard
again.
Way.
No matter how many family members come to visit next time,
I know.
You'll get a permit.
But see, I took a chance.
Okay.
And well, in good faith.
Appreciate your honesty. Thank you. And I know the neighborhood notification was already performed on this. There was a mailing several months ago, and there was no opposition. Okay. Well, thank you. And if there's no public comment, I see, because there's no one here. So
yeah, because we don't bother nobody. The bathroom is in the back.
Yeah.
It's not even seen by the public.
That's good.
We did a lot of posting, hearing, blah, blah, blah. No complaint.
Okay, thank you. Well, we'll close the public hearing and be inclined to grant the requested variance. GROSA will approve your application, and you can go ahead and get the permit. And
does she need to repost
it? I think the poster is okay. So, thank you. So that's
thank
it.
You
You're
so
done.
Much.
Thank you.
Did you see the
pictures anymore? I think you have photos of the.
He took picture and he's supposed to bring it to them.
So he can email
to the planning.
Yeah,
okay.
To the planner.
Thank you.
The
so
planner
much.
Is Tom Wang.
Thank you. So with that, I see there was no general public comment because there's nobody here. So we'll reconvene for the next hearing on Wednesday, July 23rd, and this hearing is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.